We begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Good morning, my brothers and sisters of the Church of Conscious Harmony, wherever you may be. I welcome you near and far. We are alone together, and I have invited our dear friends, Don and Deborah Hale, who are leaders in our children and youth ministry, and they will be helping us with this service so that our children and youth feel connected to the community as well. This morning, as we all entered into the campus, I want to say thank you to Michael and Jeff and Ann and Billy and Sue, who are behind the scenes making this service possible today. And as we came onto the church campus, I was very well aware that we miss you. And I miss the Save-A team, I miss the brunch, I miss seeing everyone gathering for worship in this space, which is absolutely, completely empty. And you can imagine the sense of oddness. They never trained us for this at seminary. And the last thing I ever want to do is be on TV. So I'm sharing the misery, guys. But we welcome you to this service. May it feed us deeply in the Spirit, ease our fears, deepen our sense of connection and awareness that we are all in this together. And it's been the tradition of our children's ministry, Godly Play, to begin the service by lighting our Christ candle. And for those of you who have prepared your Christ candle at home, I now invite Deborah to light our Christ candle in the manner that Godly Play does.
As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship. Amen. Amen.
To our friends at home, please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Oh,
Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Begin our children's chapel by saying together our verse for the month. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. So today I want to tell you a story, but first I want to make a couple of suggestions for all of the children that are with us today. After I finish telling the story, you might want to go and prepare feast for your family to enjoy during the Holy Communion, the World Communion. Today I have a couple of goldfish crackers and some juice. I also invite you to come back and enjoy the quiet time during the centering prayer, as long as you can handle it. Today I have two or more gathered together. I have Ming Chao and Chao Ling, and the donkey, the Holy Family, and the Good Shepherd. So I think we have everyone that we need. Once there was a prince who was never smiling, never. His father was desperate to bring happiness to his son. And so he gathered together his wise men, his sages, his doctors, and they spent many hours trying to come up with a way that they could bring happiness to the prince. The prince was not interested in the antics of the jester. That was boring. He wasn't interested in the royal balls, which were intolerable. He wasn't interested in the line of princesses brought before him. They were insufferable. And after spending some time thinking about it, the wise men decided that what the prince needed was the shirt of a truly happy person to wear. And if he had this shirt, it would enfold him in the happiness of the truly happy person. Well, they went out seeking a truly happy person. They spoke with a wealthy merchant who seemed to have everything. He had a fine house and a beautiful family, and they thought that maybe he truly was happy. But as they continued to ask questions, they asked him, "How would you feel about becoming a knight?" And his eyes lit up, and he was just so in love with the idea because he had ambition, and they realized he wasn't really happy. And then they met a priest,
The priest was idealistic and energetic and seemed to be a very happy man. But when they mentioned the idea of him becoming a bishop, they realized that he too had great ambitions and wasn't truly happy with the way things were. They spoke to many people. Either they had too many children or they had no children and they were unhappy. Either they had not enough to eat or they'd eaten too much. There were all kinds of reasons why people were not finding happiness. And so they were coming back to the king empty-handed. But along the way they heard a merry tune being whistled, and they crossed a field and they found a farmer. And the farmer was working in his garden, and he sounded so happy, singing and whistling, and they stopped and they asked if they could speak with him, and he said, "It's time for me to take a break. Let's get some water, and I've just picked some carrots." Well, the ambassadors were used to drinking wine and having rich cakes, but they found the water refreshing and the carrots quite sweet and delicious. And they sat and they spoke to him and they asked him things like, "Wouldn't you rather have a bigger farm? Would you rather be a merchant? Would you rather work for the king?" And each time he said, "No, my farm is just the right size." And they said, "Well, isn't it too much work?" And he said, "Well, my family helps me. We love this farm. I love being out here in the fresh air every day." And the more questions they asked, the more they realized they finally had found a really, truly happy man. And they told him their mission, and they asked if they could take his shirt back to the king to give to his son so that it could envelop him in their happiness. But the man started laughing. He said, "I don't even have a shirt." And so truly, the ambassadors had to go back to the king. They were empty-handed, but they were not empty-headed, for they realized that the prince needed to make his own shirt of happiness. Now I wonder, where are you looking for happiness? One of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago was our gratitude journals. I brought mine. I've been drawing pictures in mine sometimes, like we mentioned in our story, because I can write words, but I liked drawing pictures. So I drew a picture here of five things that I was thankful for. One of them are my lungs. I can breathe easily, and I feel like that is one of the greatest gifts to be grateful for. Peter talked last week about finding a bit of psalm to memorize, and I picked something from the 121st Psalm, and it is, "May you keep us in our going out and our coming in." And I've changed it up just a little bit, and I'm saying, "May you keep us in our breathing out and our breathing in." And every time I go outside and I feel the wind on my face, it's my reminder to remember God. And so I do. Ming Chao and Chowling have their gratitude journals. They're working every day to come up with five things to be thankful for. And I think that that will make us all remember to be happy, no matter what else is happening. Amen.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Although I think we just heard God's word, we'll hear another God's word. Our first reading is taken from Psalm 18, translated by Nan Merrill. I abandon myself to you, O living presence, my strength. You are my stronghold, my freedom, Almighty One, the rock and foundation of my life. Just one, tower of strength, the source of truth and light. I call upon you, heart of my heart, singing praises to your name, and fear no longer holds me. The demons of darkness assailed me. The blindness of ignorance led me astray. The shadows of fear paralyzed me. The anguish of loneliness confronted me. In my distress, I called out to you, O gracious one. To you, I cried for help. You heard my voice, O loving presence. You hearkened to my cry. Then did you, O divine presence, show unto me a vision. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the mountains trembled and quaked, as if to slough off the ravages of destruction perpetrated by greedy hands. On the wings of the wind you did come. You come with a darkness, a covering around you, a canopy of thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before you there broke through the clouds hailstones. Coals of fire leapt from the mountaintops. As your voice uttered in the heavens, thunder and lightning stormed the earth. Like arrows from a bow, the people scattered. Yet there was no safe haven, no hiding place from fear. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world laid bare. The earth gave a mighty shudder, then settled down to heal in the silence. O compassionate one, you reached from on high, you took me, you drew me out of many waters, you delivered me from the fears that bound me and from ignorance that blinded me. For they threatened to overcome me, to separate me from you. They came upon me when I looked not to you. Yet you, O merciful one, were ever present. You brought me forth into the light. You released my fears. You delighted in me. O Holy One, you see the intentions of my heart. As I surrender to your love, I grow in peace and gratitude. For to lose my life is to find life. Oh, keep me steadfast in my love for you and love for life of my life. The spirit of your word is ever before me, the counselor ever present to guide me. I pray for a clean heart, O beloved, to be free from guilt. May I walk with you justly, with mercy and in peace, a mirror of your love in the world. Yes, you are the light of my life. You shine through the darkness. Yes, with you I can do all things, and my spirit soars like an eagle. Your ways lead to wholeness, O loving presence. Your word in me is life. How tenderly you live in my heart. For who is our creator but the source of love? And who is life except the divine presence? You who gird me with strength and lead me in the way of truth, you make my feet like hinds' feet and set me secure on the heights. You teach me the way of justice, that I might speak out against oppression. You give me a hunger for silence, that I might know the power of prayer. And you support me in solitude. You give me freedom to choose the journey road. I elect the narrow way. For I pursued my fears and I faced them and did not run back until I was free. I saw each one through so that they were not able to rise. They were transformed by love. For you enabled me with strength to look deep within, holding me when fears threatened to overwhelm me. You brought forgiveness into the darkness and softened my heart to forgive my adversaries. Though my fears rose up as old friends being betrayed, love brought them down. What had been weakness and weeds now turned to strength and roses. Yes, my fears were redeemed by love. You delivered me from prejudice and intolerance. You opened my heart to all nations. People whom I had not known befriended me. As soon as they beheld the radiance of your love, they came to my door. Strangers came desiring to hear your word. Yes, strangers came, and those who had separated themselves from love. They came seeking release from their fears. The Most High lives. Blessed be my rock, and exalted be the heart of my heart. The loving one who helped me face my fears and open my heart to the poor. You delivered me out of the darkness of ignorance. Yes, you did bring victory over my illusions. You led me into harmony and wholeness. For this I will extol you, O my beloved, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Peace, gratitude, love, and assurance are gifts bestowed by love. May all peoples live in your truth, in the unity of peace forever. Amen. May this reading nourish your journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Good morning, especially good morning to you young people who got up early this morning and joined us. Thank you very much for your presence. As you know, each Sunday in all three of our classes, after we light the Christ candle, we begin our time together with our one up, one down check-in. So what is the one particular memory you have from this past week that raised you up during your day or night? And what was the one event or one experience you had that drew you down? Where did you feel down? Let's bring those into our thoughts together. I asked Peter before we got together this morning what his one up for the week was and his one down, and he shared that his up was the experiencing of the contrast between the gray and the green of the environment and the atmosphere around Austin this week. The walking in the green beauty of the forest and the trees surrounded by the mist and the gray clouds. He said his down was feeling the concern and worries of the world and wondering how long the center would hold. I asked Deborah what her up and down were, and she said her up was the dress that she was wearing this morning, receiving it from the closet of a dear friend who recently passed away, and how it makes her feel the presence of everyone. Her down, let's see. Oh, yeah. Some friction that came between herself and myself spending the week together. Go figure. My up is the new garden that we have in our backyard. The splendid beauty that is just brand new in our backyard and the time spending there. And my down, a little bit like Peter's, the feeling during the week of being overwhelmed with the concern about the future, doubt. So if you've got your one up and your one down now, we've shared it. We hold it together. We follow the one up, one down check-in with our topic question, check-in question. And today's check-in question is, when do you experience the source of your true joy and happiness? When do you experience the source of your true joy and happiness? I asked Deborah. She told me that she experiences it when she remembers God. And she says this week she's been experiencing it in her walks in nature and feeling the wind on her face. I experience the source of my joy and happiness when I am reminded to stop in the busyness of my day or night and take a deep breath in the silence. It raises me up above whatever it was I was doing, and I cannot really explain where this impulse came from, this mystery that happens in the silence when I remember and am remembered. When is your source? When do you remember your source? When do you experience your source? When we complete these sharing and these questions, we have a sacred object that we've obtained from the magic, our sacred object bag. And when we're all ready, we place the sacred objects on the table, on the altar in front of us. Today, let's take our thoughts that came to us as our sacred objects and place them on the altar of our hearts, that place where we're all connected And may they come and join us in this week ahead of us to raise us up together when we need it. Amen.
Please join us in listening for God's word in our second reading, which is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, from the Contemplative Inner Transformation version. Jesus comforts the disciples. Be still. Do not let your deep center be disturbed. Trust in Source. Trust in me. In the silent heart of Source, there is endless room for you to abide. That's why I've told you that my purpose in my presence with you is to show the way into this inward state of stillness with Source. As I journey into the heart of Source, I demonstrate what is possible for humankind, and I reveal the opportunity you each have of joining me on this way, so that you too might share in the state of union I share with Source. You know the way to this oneness with Source that I am journeying deeper into. Thomas asked Jesus, Lord, right now we do not understand the state of union we are talking about. So how can we understand the way into it? Jesus replied to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. Everyone on this journey deeper into the source. And this journey is what I am here with you to reveal. This journey into and beyond union is the way. As it goes for me, so it goes for you. As you commune with me, you will experience Source. From this point on, you are changed forever. You do partake with Source. And through me, you more clearly understand what Source is. Jesus promises the friend. As you increasingly love me, you will deepen your evaluation and embodiment of the very purpose of my teachings. I will be praying that beloved Source will give to each of you another spiritual presence of supportive love and wisdom that will journey with you now and always. This spirit of truth, the friend who will journey with you, isn't known or acquired by the principles and powers of this world. Rather, you will know and experience the friend inwardly, quietly, in silence and stillness, because the Spirit lives with you and will always be in each of you. I will not abandon you like orphans. I am here with you now, And soon my spiritual energy will be streaming to you in new ways. Soon I won't be seen by anyone physically. However, you will see me inwardly, spiritually, because my influence lives. And in and through that spiritually alive influence, you will also live. In that experience, you will understand that I am in beloved source, and you are in me, and I in you. All who have my teachings and keep them are those who love me. All who love me are beloved by my beloved source, and I will love them. And more of what I am will manifest to and through them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, ask him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest to us and not to everyone else? Jesus answered, all who love me will live in alignment with my teaching, and beloved source will love you, and you will abide with me always. Without love, it is impossible to live in alignment with my teachings. The teaching that you hear is not just mine, but is from beloved source. The very reason I am here with you. I have told you these truths now while I am still with you physically. But soon, the friend, also streaming from beloved source in alignment with my being, will teach you all the more and remind you of what I am teaching. Jesus conveys wholeness and harmony. Wholeness and harmony are what I convey to you. My very own wholeness and harmony I share with you. I give to you unconditionally. Do not lose your center or let your heart be disturbed. And certainly do not be overcome with fear. You have heard me say that I am going away and I am coming to you. As you love me, rejoice with me that I am returning to beloved source, because source is our oneness, our all and everything. I have shared all this teaching with you before these significant events unfold, so that when everything does occur, you may understand and trust me all the more. I won't be teaching much more. The fear-based powers of this world are nearing. They have no power over me, for I consent to Source, so that all may know that I love Source. Rise. Let us be on our way. May this reading nourish us, our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
I thank Deborah and Don for your being and your leadership, and I trust the youth and children have been blessed by their presence in this service. And these readings are long, but what else do we have to do? And it is wise for us who have been humbled by the circumstances and external events of life to listen to wisdom from the ancients. And we'll talk about both of those scriptures in a moment. But I just want to acknowledge the fact that I'm really happy right now because finally I'm visiting your living room. I love coming over to folks' homes and doing pastoral visits. I don't do that much here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, but it's really nice to be with you in your living room, in your kitchen, in your study. And it's actually very inappropriate for me to be with you in your bedroom. So if you're there, we're in this together. And this is not the first time humankind has had events occur that have turned us upside down. This is the first time where events have happened that are turning us upside down, and we all know about it at the same time and are watching it at the same time. It's the first time we have had a social media crisis, pandemic. It's the first time we've had an internet-connected pandemic. And because of that connectivity and awareness that we all are plugged into, this scale of this event is consciousness shifting for our planet. And it can consciously shift us into that wholeness and harmony that Jesus wished for, connected by the spiritual friend. And unfortunately, because of the natures of the laws that we live under on this planet, it can also shift human beings into a consciousness that is more like sleep than being awake and more grounded in fear. And we can all feel this possibility. I can feel the possibility of that consciousness eating us, consuming us, wanting to take us down. I don't want to focus on what's gone wrong or what is occurring, whether it's right or wrong. It's an event. It's a massive, interconnected, full-spectrum event affecting each of our bodies, minds, and souls. All of our centers are impacted in this. Don't try and be above it. Don't deny it. It's a full-spectrum event, and it perhaps could even get worse. So what's our source of strength? What's our center? Where are we looking for guidance, for wisdom? It's one of the reasons we've had such long readings today, because I'm shortening what I have to say in deference to the wisdom of what has been said before. Learn from our ancestors. Turn to the scriptures and seek wisdom. This isn't the first time human beings have felt the pinch of being undone, of everything that we count on and trust in for our sense of survival and security. We just live in a much more vulnerable time, where most of us don't have gardens where we grow our own food. We go to the grocery store. We go to the stores. And we see how vulnerable we are when the shelves are totally empty. Unbelievable. We see how vulnerable we are when people living paycheck by paycheck don't know where their next money will come from. How will they pay their rent? These are realities that can be felt in the ether right now. What will we do in response? How will we live in response? I certainly don't have all the answers, and I wish you were here because we would have the mics and we would share. So I have a few quotes to bring to mind, and then I'll connect with the scriptures. The first is to remind us all of something that holds us together as a community, whether we're here in person or virtually like this through Zoom. And that is that this church, the Church of Conscious Harmony, exists for the sole purpose of facilitating the spiritual journey for anyone who wants to make God devotion the center of their life while living in the ordinary world without the aid of monastery walls. That aim, that wish, connects us right this second. Do you wish to make God devotion the center of your life in the midst of the world that is occurring right now? Not the world that is perfect, the world that is really real, just like it is now. Or is God devotion the center of our lives when we have all the money and all the health and life is easy? Now more than ever is an opportunity for us to deepen into that primal wish from which this church has grown from, the ground of our being in this wish, that this is a community for people who wish to make God devotion the center of their life. And we are stronger because of this combined intention and this aim, just bringing it to mind. It's like an anchor. Whatever is occurring in your life and your family, however difficult this season is going to be, that is an anchor, that we are here together connected because we want God devotion to be the center no matter what is spinning around. Now the question becomes, how do we do that? And this is the art. This is the necessary need for the work in our lives, for ideas and principles that hold us and connect us to that aim and that wish. And so many of those ideas and principles have come to us through the great gift of the teachings of the work. I received in the mail as I came into the office today a letter from a dear friend in this community, and this is so extraordinarily timely. I knew that I rarely get letters, but I knew when this letter was on my desk this morning that it was for all of us today. And I'm not going to share who sent it to me because I haven't asked them, actually, if I can share this. But this is a newsletter from Nan Merrill's community. The translation we just read from the Psalm 18, and we read from Nan Merrill last week as well. But this is her newsletter, the Friends of Silence newsletter. And there are two beautiful quotes that I want to read to us from this newsletter. The first quote is by Lee Young Lee from her book, This Room and Everything in It. Just take this quote in. And one day, when I need to tell myself something intelligent about love, I'll close my eyes and recall this room and everything and everyone in it. These are historic moments. Just take a moment to look around the room you're in, the people that are beside you. One day, when we need to tell ourselves something intelligent about love, we'll close our eyes and we'll recall this room and everything and everyone in it. And because so many of us are at home, and Don and Deborah are not the only ones, I suspect, who've had tensions and frictions adjusting to life at home in this new way. Here's a quote from Katrina Kennison from her book, Mitten Strings for God. Once we begin to see our lives within our own families as opportunities for spiritual development, the possibility of inner growth is unlimited. home is no longer just a place to eat and sleep, but a school for our souls and spirits. Each day yields its lesson, and our children and partners become our teachers. We find our rhythm and learn to harmonize. We learn how to cherish and care for one another, and how to care for our own souls as well. We learn to dance together. Some are actually dancing together. How to lead and when to follow. In so doing, we bring about changes, both large and small, for our children, nurtured by rhythm, may ultimately heal and restore the rhythm of the world. Soon, the rhythms of the world will be restored. And I pray, and I know we all wish, that those rhythms will be more harmonious than ever before because of these things we are going through. That psalm that we heard read from Marianne is so powerful. Psalm 18, it's a psalm of victory, of God's victory, but in Nan Merrill's translation, it becomes a hymn to the courage of spirit and surrendering to Source. And there's that one little line in there that I want to draw our attention to, that the foundations of the world have been revealed. All it took was a virus, a new virus, to reveal the foundations of this world and how interconnected and vulnerable those foundations are. If your foundation is health, we can become sick. If your foundation is digits and dollars, it can evaporate in a second. If your foundation is life itself, it can be snuffed out like a candle. If your foundation is your job, your title, your role, go home. You're not needed in a moment. These are the foundations of the world, many of them, some of them, not all of them. But could it be that when the foundations of this world are revealed for what they are, it gives us all the opportunity to go deeper than the foundations of this world and sink into the ground of our very being. The ground that is empty and full. The ground that is endless in possibility. That births again and again. Births us back into the love of God as it takes us from this life and moves us into other kinds of life. I'm not afraid of dying. Because of the ground of my being, I've already died. We've already died, parts of us. How can you be afraid of dying when nothing can separate you from the love of God, the ground of being? The foundations of the world are useful, but they are not eternal. They're important, but they are only part of the story. I don't want to whitewash anyone's suffering. I want to remind us of our source. And that is Jesus' message in John chapter 14. In this translation, the Contemplative Inner Transformation Version, connects it to our ideas as a work community and as contemplatives. Do not lose your center. Do not let your heart be disturbed. And certainly do not become overcome with fear. Jesus was sharing these things on the cusp of his own undoing, knowing full well that his teaching that his way of being, that his essence, was rejected by the power brokers, by the foundations of the world, by the Roman Empire, by a few power elites in the nation of Israel, who were terrified that Jesus was a revolutionary who would crash the whole system down, shut the temple, seize up all the revenue, and question the very authority of the religious leaders. They were terrified, terrified enough to wish him dead. And Jesus could intuit that his hour had come, that the foundations and powers of this world weren't going to put up with him one more moment. He could have been more savvy in his approach. He could have had Zoom and done interviews with CNN. He could have been much more effective in his business plan. But that wasn't his way, and that's not the way that draws us deeper. The way that draws us deeper, the Jesus way, is the way straight up to that cross above us. Not in a morose way, but in a way that says the cross of death is a doorway into life, the life of God. And it doesn't mean that we have to physically die to experience the cross. Crossed living looks like cruciform living, dying to self and living to love. It looks like not saying that thing of reactivity to your kids or your spouse or partner and being patient. It looks like calling the people that you love in your life and asking them how they're doing. It looks like making extra soup and taking it to your neighbor. It looks like so many things that cross does. But Jesus knew his hour was coming. Maybe some of our hours are coming. And listen what he has to say when the hour draws near for all of us. I have shared all this teaching with you before significance unfold, significant events unfold, so that when everything does occur, when the foundations of the world are revealed, you and me may understand and trust Source all the more. I won't be teaching much more, he says. The fear-based powers of this world are nearing, but they have no power over me. For I consent to Source. Be careful what you let have power over you. I will too. And as we journey together on this way that draws us deeper, we are a remedy for the second virus. There are two viruses right now. The virus we know as COVID-19, and the other virus, even more deadly, known by the name of fear. It spreads so much quicker. And we, you, me, this moment, this service, this community is a antidote to that virus, a remedy for that virus. Pass the peace of Christ to one another, not the fear of this world. I thank you for the privilege of your time and attention today. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence. There's been so much read, so much wisdom spoken from Deborah and Don and from the scriptures. What is the Spirit saying to you right now? Amen. For those of us at home, take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hearts and consciousness. And we remember the truth for ourselves and for everyone else in this world, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are when we simply remember Source. Amen. I invite you now to listen to a beautiful musical reflection with Sue and Billy.
Out of the depths of my despair, I cry to you, O God. Hear my voice, hear my plea. Have mercy on me. In
let us now rest together in 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is the contemplative way of consenting to God's presence, action, and love in our lives. Please join in praying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Let us dedicate this Eucharist to the life of our Elizabeth Davis, who died after falling unrelated to COVID or any sickness last week, and her service will be in months to come. And let us also dedicate the essence of the Eucharist to those medical caregivers and doctors and nurses all around the world who give the Eucharistic life of themselves to serve for the life of others. Let us pray together. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. We ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, respond to them, and receive them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades, transcends, and interconnects all our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator and Source, for the glory of God's kingdom, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are able, and we will conclude our worship by singing one verse of Amazing Grace. I thank you each for your presence here, making this service so beautiful, alone and together. The light of God surrounds us.
The love of God enfolds us.
The power of God protects us.
The presence of God encircles all of us.
Wherever we are,
God is,
and all is well.